Well, this week we start a series called Love Where You Live, as I said, and we're kind of piggybacking on the previous series that we just concluded last week on the Holy Spirit. And the reason why is because we recognize, as we were going through the series on the Holy Spirit, we recognize that that the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in our life is to then turn around and be Great Commission people. A couple years ago, we came up with this phrase, love where you live, and it's this idea that God has put in us not only the responsibility to be a Great Commission people to Columbia, where we're sponsoring kids and planting churches, where we love people there, but to also then love people in the city of San Antonio, in our county, in this community, in your neighborhood, that we have a responsibility as followers of Jesus Christ to love where we live. The challenge is in order to do that, in order to love where we live, to accomplish that thing, we need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit working through us. So, this series is going to help us navigate this, and I'm going to kind of set the tone for this as far as, what does the empowerment look like in us? What are the gifts that flow out of us in order to accomplish the Great Commission? And then the following couple of weeks, we're going to hear about how then that looks in our everyday life. Because really, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, are not just so that we can gather together and feel good about ourselves and to use the gifts in the context of even this local service. It's really for us to then go out and use those gifts to see people come into the kingdom of God. So, I want to answer the question today, now what? If you were here last week and... by the way, I'm just going to say hi to everybody else watching online today. Thank you for at least tuning in. I feel like last night, I woke up really tired this morning, right? Because I think there was thunder all night. And even though I wasn't like completely awake, I was kind of awake. Anyways, so I'm hoping I make clear points today. We'll see how that goes. So I want to answer the question, now what? Because last week, if you were here, I think it was pretty amazing. And not because of anything I did, but because of the work of the Holy Spirit in this place. We got to see the three baptisms. We taught on the three baptisms, so we got to see people come into a relationship with Jesus for the first time. We saw people make that confession of their faith public in the water baptism, in their water baptism. And then we also got to see people get prayer and want more for their life, the infilling and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit in their life. And so the question is, now what? Maybe that was you. Maybe you went and got prayer last week, and you're like, okay, I don't know what, you know, what's different. What's different from last week than this week? What's the point of all of that? And I'm hoping that I can help bring some clarity this morning and really walk us through this idea of what spiritual gifts are. There's a passage of scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Now about spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters this morning, I do not want you to be ignorant." Like, I don't want you to not understand it. My hope is when you leave here today, you'll have a better understanding of what spiritual gifts are, what they mean for us, and how we can then begin to function in them. The word gift is used all throughout Scripture, and we see it used on multiple occasions, and it has different applications. So to just say gift, it's important for us to understand that the gifts that we're talking about, to kind of address the spiritual gifts, you really need to understand what we're not talking about. So I'm just going to give you a couple of those things. This is in your notes. The first thing is this, is that we're not talking about the gift of eternal life, okay? So the gift of eternal life is a free gift, right? It's undeserved. It's not that what we're talking about in the spiritual gifts component isn't anything to do with salvation, that those are something that come after salvation. They're awakened through salvation. And so we're not talking about eternal life. The passage of Scripture here is Romans chapter 6, verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death," meaning that that if you've ever sinned in your life, there has to be something of death paid in that context. So it's not just enough for forgiveness. There has to be a blood sacrifice that takes place. If you sin, it's either you die or something else is sacrificed. And we all know, and what we're going to remember this morning and through the elements of communion, is that we know that Jesus went to the cross as the blood sacrifice for our sin. Right, so he was the sacrifice. So for the wages of sin is death. He went to the cross for us. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So we're not talking about eternal life. We're not talking about that gift. That's a great gift, and it's available to everyone. But we're not addressing that today. So the other thing that we're not addressing is the gift of the Holy Spirit. And this gets a little bit confusing, because we're going to talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but we're not talking about the gift of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus said, I go away, I'm leaving you, the Holy Spirit is a gift for you. So we're not talking about the person of the Holy Spirit, but the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives us. That's what I want to talk about, is spiritual gifts. Starts in Romans chapter 12, verse 6. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. And here's where it gets pretty interesting, and what most people may not take the time to discover and research is that really when it comes to spiritual gifts, there are three different categories of spiritual gifts. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts that are available to us. Those three different categories would be motivational gifts. This isn't in your notes, but you can write it down if you want. They're motivational gifts. And motivational gifts are how God works in a believer to shape his perspective on life and to motivate his words and his actions in life. Okay, and then the second category would be ministry gifts. And ministry gifts are how God works with what a believer does to serve and meet the needs of others. And then finally, the third category is the manifestation gifts. And the manifestation gifts are how God works through a believer in a given situation to demonstrate a supernatural power. Now, when you hear spiritual gifts, oftentimes when we talk about spiritual gifts, we immediately, our minds go to the manifestation gifts, because those are supernatural. Those are like something that we don't necessarily have on a regular basis, and we want those things, or maybe you're afraid of those things, or whatever the case, our mind typically goes to the manifestation gifts. And what I want to do is I want to talk about each of these three categories and give you at least a description or what the gifts are in each of these categories, and then I'm going to come around at the end here. So motivational gifts are gifts like this, and we see this throughout Scripture: serving, teaching, exhorting, giving, organizing, mercy. Those are all motivational gifts that are available to us. Ministry gifts are gifts that are tools that God uses to build up the church, or gifts like the gift of an apostle or a prophet, or a teacher, or an evangelist. Those are found, and those are found, by the way, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Those are gifts, ministry gifts, to build up his church. And then finally, the manifestation gifts, which are supernatural gifts that demonstrate the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. And those are the ones that you kind of are always curious about, right? It's the word of wisdom. Words of knowledge, it's faith, gifts of healing, working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, diverse kinds of tongues, the interpretation of tongues. So those are all manifestation gifts that come through the empowerment and the work of the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit in our life. So 2 Timothy 1:6 says this: for this reason, I remind you, fan into flame the gifts that God has given you. The gift that God has given you. Fan into flame. You need to work hard and stir up in order for those gifts to be present into your life. So I'm going to try to explain this. Just having a conversation right before service, because I've been processing this all week and thinking through the best way to try to communicate this. And if I get this wrong, I apologize in advance. If it's still very confusing to you, then I'll I'll do my best to try to follow up with emails or conversations afterwards. So here's the interesting thing. They're all spiritual gifts, right? But in the case of motivational gifts and in the case of ministry gifts, I believe that the Lord has put those gifts or a gift or multiple of those gifts inside of you. And that at the point of salvation, when you receive the Holy Spirit, at that point, those gifts are charged, if you will, and now become something that becomes a part of your ministry, becomes a part of who you are as a new believer. Okay? So that's there. What we were talking about last week in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, it's in those moments that now, that when you walk in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, the manifestation gifts are now more present in your life. Okay? So the others are, they're kind of dormant inside you. Salvation comes, and now all of a sudden you start functioning in the motivational and in the ministry gifts. But the manifestation gifts really become present in your life through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the infilling, the constant infilling of the Holy Spirit. And those gifts are come and go situationally, in different circumstances. You'll have a manifestation of a gift for that specific reason. Try to give you an example of this. I'll use a hypothetical instead of one of my specific examples. But in a hypothetical situation, you're talking to your next-door neighbor, they're mowing their lawn or whatever, and they talk about the fact that they've had this back pain that's been going on in their life, and it's keeping them from doing all of their daily tasks. And all of a sudden, in the moment, you're just having a conversation, and normally you would feel bad about that, and you'd feel like, well, I'm not a doctor, there's nothing I can do about that. But the manifestation gifts, the Holy Spirit would speak to you and say to you, wait a minute, I want you to pray for that person for healing. And in that moment, maybe you are or maybe you're not, but the hope is that you would say, okay, I'm gonna step out, I'm going to pray for this person for healing. And in that moment, the manifestation gift of healing takes place. Okay, those manifestation gifts are situational. Now, the reason why this is so confusing to people, why it's difficult, is because, as I said a couple of weeks ago, there's a whole group of Christians who would say that the manifestation gifts aren't for today. They cease to exist. They stop. They were good for the Bible times. They're not good for today. And the problem with that is the Bible never says that. The doctrine behind it, if you care, is they're cessationists. They cease to exist. The Bible never says that. The Bible never says that they stop. Our great physician never said, hey, I'm closing up shop. I'm not going to heal anymore. Right? So it's important for us to understand that not only were they important for yesterday, they're important for today. In fact, Jesus himself said, greater work shall you do because I'm going to the Father. So not only will you do the works that he accomplished while he was on earth, but you're even going to do greater works than that. So there's no evidence that things have just stopped to exist. He still does miracles today. Another reason why I think it gets a little complicated for people is because it's not about spiritual gifts. It's about the one gift, right, that makes people nervous, right? Like, I want all of the spiritual gifts except for that one. And I think you probably know what I'm talking about. It, you know, anytime you hear the spiritual gift of tongues, right, the diverse tongues or speaking in tongues, you're like, oh no, we're not one of those churches. I don't know if I can handle that. Like, I'll take mercy in my life, but the tongues, I don't know, you know. And so we get caught up on a gift instead of really desiring all of the gifts, as Scripture says. I would just say to you this. Don't be afraid of what God has created. Right? Don't be afraid of that. Pursue and go after all that God has for us. And I would just say, be careful in your approach. Be careful that you wouldn't just say, well, okay, that's over here. I'm just going to put it on the shelf, but I'll take all of these. Don't do that. Be open and be aware of what maybe God wants to do in your life. Another reason why I think we're a little gun-shy when it comes to the manifestation gifts or spiritual gifts is how people see church and its leadership. See, God worked through priests in the Old Testament. God, they had the tabernacle, and you had the Holy of Holies, and God worked through specific men, specific priests. And it was only the priests that could go in on your behalf, and not on your behalf, but their behalf, and pray for them, to pray to God for them. Like they were the anointed ones. They were the specific people. The problem is that Jesus died on the cross. Well, that's not a problem. That's a good thing, because when he died on the cross, Scripture says that the veil was torn. And see, there was a veil that would separate the priest from all of the, you know, regular everyday people, and only the priest could go in there. Well, when Jesus died on the cross, it says that that veil, that separation between God and everybody else, was torn. And we should all say amen to that, because what that means then, I don't think we're like an amen church, but if there ever was a time, it should have been right there. But so the thing with that is now everyone has direct access to God. You don't have to go through a pastor or a priest. The special ability, God would say, the special ability I gave to those priests, I have now poured out on the whole church. And then as soon as the church aged, this is so interesting, as soon as the church aged, we put priests back in place, right? We got to put a priest back on the, you know, and they're the only ones. We got to go through them. We got to confess to them. They got to go before God on our behalf. And then Martin Luther comes around the 1500s, and he starts what's called the Protestant Reformation, and says, no, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that it's for everyone. In fact, they started something called the priesthood of all believers. It's a doctrine. And that is that that we are all priests. We all have access to God. And that was great for a little while, but then we again put clergy and pastors, we put people in place with names that don't even exist in the Bible. Like that word clergy, it's not in the Bible. Laity, layman, like the regular folk, not in the Bible. It's not there. So there's no separation between the clergy and the layman. It's why I think that we kind of have this mindset that would say, well, I don't want just anybody to pray for me. I want Pastor Ryan to pray for me, right? Because somehow I got the anointing. I've got the, like, I'm the priest. I'm the preacher. I'm the pastor. And somehow, because of that, I'm at a different level than all of you laymen. The problem is that's not scriptural. That's not what the Bible says. Here's what the Bible says in 1 Peter 2:9. He's not talking to the priests. He's not even really talking just to the disciples. He's talking to everybody. You are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, so that you can declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. So if that's true, if we are all priests, we should all be then desiring and functioning in spiritual gifts. So what are spiritual gifts? This is in your notes. A spiritual gift is a special supernatural ability. It's not one that you just normally like have within your ability to do. He has a supernatural grace gift that God gives to each of his children so that together they can advance his purposes in this world. This is the hope. This is the hope for us. This is the hope for our church. This is the hope for the Big C Church. For all believers, this is the hope. The problem is that more than 87% of the body of Christ never discover it. Imagine if 80% of your body didn't know what its purpose was. Right? What I mean, you couldn't even function without 80% of your body. And that's what's taking place. 80% of the body of Christ haven't discovered their gifts. 1 Corinthians 14:1 says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts. Eagerly desire the manifestation gifts. Eagerly desire the motivational gifts. Eagerly desire the ministry gifts. Eagerly desire all of the gifts, because you're going to need them. So how do we do that? How do we eagerly desire the gifts? Well, the first thing is we pray for it. Go after it. Discover the gifts that God has given me. And I want to focus now on this idea that God has placed inside of you from the very beginning. I'm going to read this. I'll just read it now. Psalm 139, 13 through 16. For you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. It wasn't like God created Lucy and said, oh man, what am I going to do with her? Like, I got to come up with something. Like, what could she do? Oh, I know. I'll just give her the gift of administration. No. God said, you know what? I'm going to need some administrators in this world. I'm going to need some people who are organized that'll keep their pastor straight. I'm going to need those people. And then he said, Lucy's going to be a perfect person for that. He already knew what the gift that he was going to place inside of her before he ever even created her. He knows exactly what he's created you for. You have a gift inside of you. Those things that God has given you will bring incredible fulfillment to you. So I'm moving back. I'm kind of getting away a little bit from those manifestation gifts. I'm coming back to these ministry gifts, the motivational gifts, and saying to you, those are just as important as the manifestation gifts. And I think oftentimes we're so eagerly, like, these are like these elusive things out there that we forget that God has already placed inside you spiritual gifts. And we've got to discover those. And those have to be awakened inside your life. So we have to discover the gifts that God's given us. He created the thing to do inside you before he created you. And you could say it like this. Design reveals destiny. How you are made points to what you're supposed to be doing in life. Go on an exploration of your design. What motivates you? What's the thing that doesn't seem to be challenging or difficult for you to do? Your personality, your temperament, your spiritual gifts, all of those things combine into the thing that he's created you to do. And you probably, if you've been around here for very long, know kind of where I'm going with this. Like, that's the whole purpose of Life Track, is to help you begin to discover that. I'm going to talk about that in a second. I could say it this way. You go to a party, and it's a dinner party, and someone's walking with their plate, and they drop their plate, right? And now it's just spilled all over the place. Well, you're going to find out in that party there's varied gifts. The mercy gift is going to be like, the person's going to come up, oh, I'm so sorry, are you okay? And check up on you, and just make sure everything's okay. The pastor, the person with the pastor gift is going to say, well, that's what happens when you fill your plate too full with food. Like, it's just going to fall. They're going to tell you what you did wrong, right? The service person is the person with the service gift is going to come and help you pick it up and come alongside you and help clean everything up. The teaching gift is going to say, well, if you would have just held your hand underneath the plate right in the center and balanced it out, they would have taught you, what you don't know about holding plates, and they would have helped you with that. The exhortation person would have said, that's okay. There's a champion inside of you, even if you dropped your plate. The giving gift would say, here's my plate. Like, you can have my food. The administration gift would say, Lloyd, you go grab the mop. You, Kelly, you grab another plate for her. And just starts directing traffic. It's why we love when you begin to discover that everyone has a purpose in the kingdom of God. Everybody has a place, and there are gifts inside of you. Spiritual gifts. These are spiritual gifts. Don't miss that inside of you. The second thing is that we have to embrace the gifts that God's given us. Oftentimes, Kelly and I have had this conversation where I'm like, you know what? I'd rather have that gift. I'm like, I got the gift of teaching, and I teach, and being up here isn't a big deal for me. But for some of you, you'd break out in hives if you came up here, right? It would just mess you up. But so you have to embrace the gifts that God's placed in you. He knew what he was doing. He didn't make a mistake. He's like, ah, shoot, I got that one wrong. You know, like, no, he's God. He understands it. Romans 12, 3 through 6, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment. Underline that word highly, underline that word sober. We're going to come back to that. In accordance with the measure of faith, underline that word, that God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We all have different gifts. And the reason why I highlighted, had you underline those, is because highly there doesn't mean, oh, he thinks he's all that, like he's prideful. No, it means, literally means you have an improper view of yourself. You have the wrong view. So if you're looking for some other person's gift, you have the wrong view of the gift that God's given you. And instead, you need to have a sober mind. And that word literally means the right mind. Here's an interesting just little tidbit for you. When Jesus casts out the demon in the demon-possessed man, it's the same word there that he was now in his right mind. He had been healed. And I think there's many of us who are walking around with the wrong view of ourselves, and we need to understand and get the right view of how God sees us, how God made us. Look at the same verse kind of paraphrased into my own words. Hear it this way. Don't have an unhealthy view of yourself, but rather be set free from the wrong view and let God give you right thinking by being assured of who he is and what he believes about you. This is the journey that we're trying to take you on. That this is the place that as a church, if this is your first time visiting, like you came on a good Sunday because this is who we are. If you stick around long enough, you will be urged then, number three, to use your gifts. The gifts that God's given to us. If you begin to understand and discover your gifts, you are then going to be urged to use those gifts in this world that we live in. We want to take people on that journey. My job is to prepare you for eternity. My job is to prepare you for the work of the ministry, Scripture says. So what do you do? In light of eternity, there's going to be two questions that you're going to be asked. The first is, what did you do with Jesus? And the answer to that is, well, I gave him my life. Now, the answer isn't, well, I went to church every Sunday and heard a good message. That's a good answer, but it's not the right answer. The right answer is, I gave him my life. And then there's a second question. The second question is, what did you do with the gifts I gave you? Not just one gift here or there, but how did you use the gifts while you were on earth? 1 Peter 4:10 says it like this: God has given gifts to each of you from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Manage them well so that God's generosity can flow through you. If this is your question, if you're like, yeah, but do I have gifts? You're the pastor. You've got gifts. Do I have gifts? Yes, you have gifts. If you got prayed for last week and you're like, I don't know what the difference is, I would just say, keep pursuing the gifts. You may have already been functioning in your motivational gifts or in your ministry gifts, but now start pursuing and eagerly asking the Holy Spirit to give you the manifestation gifts, that you would open your eyes to see people the way that he sees people and begin to function with his Holy Spirit working through you. Do something with them. Don't just ignore them. If that's you, I would encourage you to go to LifeTrack. We have LifeTrack starting next Sunday. And you can start right at step one. If you've never been to LifeTrack, go to LifeTrack. And the first two, the first one's about your relationship with Jesus. The second one's about this church and who we are. And we're going to explain the journey that we're trying to take you on. But the third one is all about discovering your purpose and plan that God's placed in your life. It's all about understanding. We're going to do some personality assessments and temperament assessments and spiritual gifts assessment and say, How are you going to use the gifts that God's given you in this world? My hope and my prayer for our church is that if we were to just take a microphone around and just, you know, have people give their testimony, that I would be able to take the microphone to Al and he would be able to say, my name's Al and I'm a priest. I'm a priest. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ and I have the gift of mercy. If you've ever walked through our front doors, you're going to get a hug from Al. He's got the gift of mercy in his life. And that he would say, I was made for this. It's why we wear t-shirts to say, I was made for this, because that's how God's created him. Right? I would take the microphone back to Lloyd, who was just sitting here, and just say, you messed my illustration up. But, take the microphone to Lloyd and say, my name's Lloyd, and you know what? I'm a priest. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, and I have the gift of technology. Right, and you don't see me very much because I'm always in the back and I'm getting things online. I'm making sure that the message is being put online. I'm talking to people, having conversations with people who are watching online who may never step foot in a church. And I was made for this. You know, my name's fill in the blank, whatever your name is, and God's given you a gift, and you were made for that. Whether it's serving down the kids' hall, whether it's starting a nonprofit, whether it's just walking across the street and having a conversation, because maybe God's put in you the heart of an evangelist. And it's just as easy as for you. You just are passionate about seeing your whole neighborhood come to Jesus because you were made for this. That's what the spiritual gifts are all about. The manifestation gifts, good. Let's desire those. They're supernatural. We don't understand them in our natural mind. We should be pursuing them. But let us not forget to constantly be asking the Lord to stir up in us all the gifts in our life. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your love and grace in our life. Lord, I thank you that you knew me before you ever even made me. You knew I'd be standing on this platform teaching and trying to explain some of these deep spiritual truths that, to be honest, I don't know that very many people talk about on a Sunday morning anymore. You knew that about me. And Lord, I'm thankful that you did know, and you have been leading me and guiding me into the purpose and plan that you have for my life. Lord, I also am grateful for the fact that there are moments where in these opportunities, in this life, I'll be talking to someone who's sitting in my office heartbroken about their marriage falling apart, and all of a sudden you'll give me a word of wisdom through your Holy Spirit to speak into their life. You'll give me a word of knowledge, Lord, and you do that through me, and I'm grateful for that. Lord, I continue to eagerly desire all of the gifts that I've never even function in. Lord, I think in each and every one of us, if we are to reflect you on this earth, that all of us have apostle, prophet, teacher, evangelist. All of us have a component of that, but maybe some of us have more so. Maybe some more evangelists than prophet, whatever the case. But Lord, let us discover it together. Let us go on this journey where we come into a deep relationship with you. We get free from some of the hurt and the wounds of our past that cause us to think poorly of ourselves, to have the wrong view of ourselves in our life. And then, Lord, let us move into this place of discovery, of understanding the right view, how you created us, what you created us for. And then, Lord, let us be a people, as we're going to talk about next week, let us be a people who go into this world seeing with new eyes how you've created us to be, what you've created us to do, and see people come into your kingdom in the name of Jesus. If you're here this morning, you're visiting with us, maybe you've been coming for a while, checking things out, and you would say, Ryan, I don't even have a relationship with the Lord, because really, that's the first step. That's eternal life. If that's you, I'm just going to, if you want that, if you want eternal life, if you want that first step, that deep relationship with Jesus, I'd invite you to just respond to him and I'll pray with you and it'll be done, right? It's simple as that. So if that's you, would you just say that's me and raise your hand and say, Ryan, I want you to pray with me. Nobody's looking around. Anybody saying that this morning? All right. And I want to pray for the rest of us in this room. I want to pray that we would go on this journey. For some of you, you need a right view of how God sees you and what he's created you for. And it's being clouded by this wrong view. It's being clouded from wounds. It's being clouded by hurts. It's being clouded by lies from the enemy. And I want to pray for freedom over you right now, Lord, that there would be freedom that takes place in this room right now. That for every person in this room who has a wrong view of themselves, who would sit there and say, no, not me. It's great for everybody else. God's probably got a calling on everybody else's life. But when he says to all those who are called, he's not talking about me. Lord, that lie, we come against that in the name of Jesus. That every person in this room is a priest, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, called by you to do the work of the ministry. God, I pray that we would have a sober mind, a right mind about how you see us and how you want us to function in this life. In the name of Jesus, amen.